must not exist. And this passage says the spirit of fear is not from God. Okay? It's not from God. And see, but what is from the Lord, and it says, you know, if you live in, you know, God gives us power, but when you live in fear, you know, God's power will be limited in your life. When you allow the spirit of fear, you agree with it, you listen to it, and it comes into your heart, it prevents God's power. And when the spirit of fear is operating in your life, what it means, what does it mean? It prevents God's power. You cannot overcome. Okay? Life stumbles you. Every time something goes wrong, you start to think the worst. Okay, it's the worst. Think the worst. And when you live in fear, you are living in stress and anxiety. You are operating out of pressure instead of God's presence. You know, I was thinking as a pastor, if I operate pastoring Catalyst out of spirit of fear, right, then what happens? People's opinion will be more important to me than God's will for this church. You know, I will have no clear direction, you know, how to lead this church. Fear will prevent me from leading this church effectively. And what else this passage says, you know, God, love is from God. But when we are operating out of spirit of fear, you don't have God's love. What happens is you're putting up walls in your heart in relationships. You isolate yourself. You hide. You run away from relationships. Fear will make you fight the wrong battle. Fear makes you fight one another. You might have a really good relationship in your life, but when the spirit of fear hits you, okay, fearful thoughts and imagination will sabotage that good relationship. Fear makes you fight, run away from relationship, isolate yourself, make you be all alone. That's the spirit of fear operating. It makes you blame, push others away. It makes you hurt others because of that spirit of fear. And the Bible says, you know, God, well, you know, what he wants to do in your life is to bring sound mind. Right? But when you are hit with spirit of fear, when you live in fear, you don't have sound mind. Okay? The spirit of fear takes away our identity we have in Christ, away from God's grace, away from forgiveness, away from this peace that transcends our understanding, away from God's love, away from our identity as a child of God. Fear makes us go deeper down to this pit of anger, harshness, domination, control, manipulation. You know, when I was thinking about some of the bullies that, you know, I encounter in my life, you know, they seem so strong, but they, you know, bullies, they're very harsh, they're dominating, they will control, they will manipulate. But when you get to know them, there's a lot of insecurities in their life. And that insecurity comes from fear. And if you really search your heart, why do you get so angry? Okay, why do you try to control everything in your life? Okay, why do you manipulate? Why do you dominate? And if you go to the root, a lot of time, it's because you're scared. There's fear. And the spirit of demonic spirit of fear is operating in your life. So to overcome fear, that spirit of fear, right? Because it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. I want to challenge you to, I only have one, I didn't even put it up there, but I put a passage there. Trust in the Lord. Say that to your neighbor, trust in the Lord. And the passage we're going to be studying is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And God's people said, right? Now, from this passage, it's not a call to ordinary trust, but it's a call to radical trust. It's a radical trust. Right? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Wow, that's so radical. Right? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, every compartment in your heart, you know, every area of your heart, every area of your life. Okay? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, to do this, this passage says this kind of trust is when you don't lean on your own understanding. Okay? When you and this is very important when you're hit with fear, because that's the time is very confusing. You know, it's a season of confusion in your life. Things don't make sense, okay, when you're hit with a spirit of fear. And what the Bible says is you got to focus, during that time, you got to focus on trusting in the Lord with all your heart. And what that means, practically, do not lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. So in this time, you know, when you're going through trials, there's spiritual attack. In time of chaos and confusion, when you feel weak, when you failed, okay, when you feel overwhelmed, when you feel like you're at this place that you want to give up, okay, when you trust the Lord, okay, what does that mean? You're not giving into fear. You're not, okay, this is what you're focused on. Not giving in, not listening to the fear, but you go, no, I'm not going to listen to that spirit of fear. I'm not going to agree with that spirit of fear. You're doing this right battle. You're saying, okay, instead of agreeing and listening and embracing that demonic spirit of fear, I'm going to contend. I'm going to fight. You are standing up to the spirit of fear. You're standing up to the spirit of fear. This trust, so this, the reason, you know, this is a radical trust, okay? You're trusting when things don't make sense, when you are scared, okay? In time of anxiety, in time of great crisis. In time of great crisis. And God says, if you can trust the Lord, just trust me when things don't make sense. And this is very difficult to do, but there's this promise. Right? There's this promise. It doesn't say, the promise isn't, then you will make your path straight. God will give you instruction so that you will make your path straight. No, no, there's this promise, God will make your path straight. Okay? And what this means is God will reveal himself to you in the midst of that chaos, in the midst of that difficulty, in the midst of that spiritual attack. God will move. God will strengthen you. God will help you. God will transform you. Right? God will give you the victory. Okay, when the spirit of fear operates, this if you look at the world, it's so confusing. It's like, it's just, you lost. But it says, no, if you trust me, and don't, with all your heart, and not lean on your own understanding, okay, and what that is, you're acknowledging him. not acknowledging the spirit of fear. You're not bowing down to the spirit of fear, but you're bowing down to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will make your path straight. Okay? He will, you know, it's just, you know, we believe, we trust when during powerful worship, you know, when we feel good, when there's freedom, when there's joy, when there's abundant provision, right? We trust God. We believe in God. But this is a radical trust. It's calling us to trust, believe God when you are scared. Okay? When you are afraid. When you are being spiritually attacked by a demonic spirit of fear. In times of trouble, when things are uncertain, when you feel weak and your knees are shaking, when you think about tomorrow, your knees are shaking. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart doesn't mean you're pretending the difficulties are not there. Doesn't mean you run or hide from your fears. It is a call to face your fear. Right? Say to your neighbor, I'm going to face my fears. Right? But it's saying trusting in the Lord with all your heart, okay? This is the key. You're not facing your fears alone. Okay? You're facing the fear with God, together with God. And as you face your fears with God, trust means, okay, what does that mean? Okay, so when you're all alone, the spirit of fear will overwhelm you. But no, you go, I'm going to take the step of trust. Okay, I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to trust him. Okay? What you're saying is, in the midst of this shaking in your life, okay, I'm going to have the right picture of God. Okay? I'm going to have the right picture of God. And what's that right picture? This is the right picture. My God is bigger than my problem. Okay? My God is bigger than my problem. Not your God. Okay? It has to be personal. My God is bigger than my problem. See, King Saul and the army of Israel, when they saw Goliath, you know what they said? Goliath is bigger than God. That's what they said. And so what happened? They ran and hid every time Goliath came. They ran away and hid in the caves. But David, right, this is why it could be done. David, who wasn't even a soldier, okay, who didn't even know how to use a sword, couldn't even put on the regular armor, because again, this is a spiritual thing, not convention. You can't defeat this spirit of fear with conventional weapon. Right? David, when he saw Goliath, you know what he said? My God is bigger than Goliath. And he says, I come against you in the name of the Lord, and God will give me victory today. And David faced Goliath and overcame Goliath with God. Okay, with God. And he had the right vision, right revelation, the right truth of who God is. Right? You know, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. I want to give you a little background to that. Jehoshaphat and the army of Israel was facing this vast army. Okay? And this is what God told them. Do not be afraid. Okay? Do not be afraid or discouraged. Wow. You got to have a very big picture of God. Okay? Okay, I'll try not to be afraid, but I'm going to be very discouraged. No, no, no. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God says, the battle is mine. This is my battle. Right? It's not the spirit of fear has come against you. What God's saying is, it has come against me, and I take offense to it. This is my battle. The battle's not yours, but God. So what does that mean? You don't help God, but God helps you. Right? You don't hold up God, but God holds you up. It's not because of you or me the battle is won. It is because of God. We win. You win. I win. Okay? And again, we know we could trust God, is that God is with us when everything's working out. You know, there's breakthrough and there's victory. But this is my challenge to the church and to myself. Let's believe God. Let's believe together as a church, God is with us when we are afraid. Okay? What are you afraid of right now? And you need to speak into that area of where you're so afraid that their spirit of fear is attacking you. Okay? And this is where you need to trust the Lord with all your heart and not lean on your own understanding. You know, the disciples of Jesus, they saw power, you know, they saw love, and they had sound mind, right? When people were singing Hosanna, I'm mentioning this because, you know, Palm Sunday is coming up. I missed it by a week, I think. They were singing Hosanna as Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Right? But what happened? A few days later, the disciples hit with great fear. What happened? Jesus is arrested and crucified. And you know, they were leaning on their own understanding, you know. And to them, the great power, great love, and sound mind was released on Palm Sunday. But it was not. It was not released on Palm Sunday. It was released in time of greatest demonic activity, when the greatest injustice, a sinless Son of God, was crucified. In time of great darkness, in time of great fear. What happened? Good Friday and Easter, the greatest transformation, the greatest miracle, greatest deliverance, greatest power. God's forgiveness was released, redemption and restoration. It happened not on Palm Sunday. It happened when the disciples were scared. They were afraid, so afraid that they ran away. See, when Jesus was arrested and crucified, see, and this is, you know, we need to learn from the disciples, okay? We need to learn. I need to learn from the Bible, you know. Sometimes, a lot of times, the Bible's there to warn us, right? When Jesus was arrested and crucified, it wasn't for the disciples to allow the spirit of fear to take over. It wasn't a time for them to lean on their own understanding. It was a time for them to trust in what Jesus promised. Because Jesus told them, I'm going to die. Okay? I don't know. You know, he told them that I'm going to die. But 3 days later, I'm going to resurrect. I'm going to rise from the dead. Right? So it was, but they, wow, that's so, it couldn't register in their own understanding. Right? What they were thinking was more true than what God told them. The greatest work of God, it wasn't Palm Sunday, when the whole city was joyful, The whole city came out dancing. The whole city came out worshiping Jesus and welcoming him into the city, singing. It was on Friday when darkness covered the sun. When crowd from Jerusalem was crying out, "Crucify him," when Jesus went to the cross. When the disciples were afraid, the greatest work of God was done. God paid the penalty for our sin, gave us eternal life and a new life. You know, when we are afraid, our natural instinct is to lean on our own understanding when we are afraid. Because, one of the reasons is we don't believe that God will move on our behalf. Yeah, you will do that for Pastor Sam's wife, or this person, or that person, but not me. No. Let's believe God will move on our behalf. Okay? Especially when we're going through a difficult time. We're facing a very difficult trial. We're being spiritually attacked. There's conflict. You feel weak. There's setbacks. Oh, that's hard. That's really hard. There's setbacks. There seems to be obstacle. There's a lot of opposition. Church, let's believe. That's the time. Let's believe together. The stage is set for God to move. Okay? The stage is set for God to move. In order to face your fear, okay, I don't see how else we can face it. Okay? In order to face your fear, God has to be big. Okay? God has to be personal. God has to be bigger than your fear. That's trusting the Lord with all your heart and not leaning on your own understanding. You know, James chapter 1, there's a passage that says, if you don't believe, if you can't trust God, it says you're double-minded, right? You're double-minded. It says it's like a wave of a sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Did you ever go to the ocean when it's windy? It's chaotic. It depends on what the wind is doing. And during this time, you can go up and down with social media. You can go up and down because of the election. You can go up and down with the news or with the government. We can go up and down because of COVID. We can go up and down because how you feel. You could go up and down depending on the circumstances. You can go up and down depending on people's opinion. Or, Jesus is my anchor. Okay? Jesus is my anchor. See, during chaotic time, you need to hold on to something that does not change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And, you know, what does that mean? I want to encourage you and speak into you to really, you know, put your trust in Jesus. Make Jesus your anchor. Okay? God knows everything I am going through. God cares about what I am going through. But I want you to go further. Okay? God has the power to change what I am going through. I want you to go further. God always acts out of his goodness to me. God's plan is always better than my plan. God will never stop loving me. Okay? That's unchanging. Did you know that? That's unchanging. That's unchanging. Our salvation is unchanging. our eternal life is unchanging. And so I want to encourage you with this first passage, if you can meditate upon it. It's in Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. This is God's promise. When you pass through rivers of difficulties, you will not drown. You will not drown. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned up. It will not consume you. This is the promise of God. And the next passage I want you to hold on to, you know, it's asking to go beyond what you see. It's in Revelation 21, verse 4. Then God will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will pass away. I realized something, you know, about the New Testament church. If you read their writings and stuff, I used to, you know, in the New Testament church, with the apostles and the disciples in the New Testament church and the church fathers, if you read their writing, to them, eternal life was more of a reality than their life on earth. It was a greater reality to them. Nowadays it's different. It's more important, okay, that short time that we have, you know, it's more important than this life that goes forever. That goes forever. That little short time. But the biblical attitude is the New Testament church. The apostles and this. The reason this attitude is so important, they overcame. They overcame. God moved through them. God used them. And so, I want to encourage you. One day, all our pain, all our suffering, all our sorrow, all our stress and grief, all our fears will end. We will see Jesus face to face. And we will live in eternity in heaven with Jesus. To the church fathers and